Reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark and chapter 4. I'm reading verses 1 to 9 and 33 to 41, the beginning of the chapter and the end of the chapter. Let us hear the word of God. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9 and verses 33 to 41. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And it said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We turn back to Mark chapter 4, and we shall look at one verse towards the end of the chapter, and it's verse 35. It's verse 35 in the Gospel of Mark, the fourth chapter. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. The same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. Chapter 4 of Mark is a chapter of great contrasts and changes. You have the opening part, it's daylight, the sun must be shining because of the Mediterranean climate. And the latter part, there is night. At the beginning, there is a calm. At the end of the chapter, there's a storm, a violent storm. At the beginning, there's a multitude of people listening to the word of God preached by Jesus Christ. At the end, only 12 and the Lord in a boat tossed by the sea. In the opening part, we have the word heard, the word preached. In the latter part of the chapter, we have the word tested in a storm and in a trial. Complete change. And life can be like that. Days can dawn happily and free of worry and tensions. And by the evening, things happening that changes our life and our approach to life. It happened here. And there's a direct link between what was heard from the Word of God to what was applied in the storm that they faced. And the beauty of coming to a church and worshiping God and hearing His Word has a direct relation to what's happening tomorrow, on Wednesday, on Saturday. Because what is heard here should be implanted within our hearts. And as trials and tribulations arise, we exercise faith in the Word and live for the glory of Jesus Christ. So first of all, here there's a calm before the storm. And then secondly, there's a storm, a violent storm. And then there's a calm after the storm. Those three things, very simply, I want to share with you this morning. First of all, the calm before the storm. It was the calm of a beach mission, if you like, a beach mission. Christ was in the boat and he was preaching to multitudes of people. And the gist of it, three great parables. The parable of the sower, as we read part of it. The growing seed that grows slowly in the hearts of people, as it was evident in the heart of the disciples later on in this chapter, growing slowly, bearing fruit slowly. Then the mustard seed parable. Small beginnings, the church will grow universally in the world. Now, why is teaching the Word of God so important? Why the Bible? Paul says in Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Vital teaching of the Bible creates faith, strengthens faith. Faith comes, perhaps for the first time, to the heart of an unbeliever. Faith comes by hearing the word. That's why it's so important for these young girls here to hear the word of God. Because a miraculous thing can happen. Faith can be implanted in the hearts of those who hear. We live in an age where solar panels are covering many of the roofs of houses around us. And the purpose of a solar panel, is to store heat from the sun. And that heat is to be utilized, harnessed later on, heating homes and so on. And you know, the Christian's heart is like a solar panel. It stores energy from the Word of God. We expose ourselves to the sunlight of the Word of God. And we store the energy. We store the promises and the commandments and the warnings. And by faith, we walk in the Word of the Lord. The solar panels are essential for the Christian to receive energy this morning from this Word of God, because it's God's Word. The word, says the psalmist, Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Remember reading years ago of Billy Graham in a conference speaking of the importance of learning the Word of God. And he mentioned in that conference that as his children grew up, he was making a point of his children to learn by heart the Word of God, lest in time to come there will be such persecution in America against the Word that there would be no Bibles. You could foresee things that might happen, and is happening in parts of the world today. People are crying out, Christians are crying out for the Bible, to read it. One is shared between 10 and 20. And this is what the psalmist is saying, thy word have I hid in my heart. Not here, in my heart. That I might not sin against thee, that I might live righteously before thee. What advice would military commanders give for a person who was told to conquer the land of Canaan? What strategy would military men give their armies? Listen to what God tells his captain, Joshua, as Moses has died and he's about to lead this nation to conquer Canaan. And this is what he says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Military success based on meditation upon the Word of God. Success because of the Word. Have not I commanded thee? Here's the great commander of heaven. Be strong, of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He was stressing, Joshua, you take care of your solar panels. You meditate. Now that was the calm before the storm. And then here they are at the end of the day, a tiring day for the Lord. And he's in the boat. No wonder he sleeps. And he gives a simple word. It's so simple, we can miss the point of it. Let us pass over unto the other side. Now the important thing about that phrase is this. It was said by the Lord, who cannot lie. He cannot lie. It's a word that guarantees a safe crossing. Let us pass over to the other side. We are going to reach there. Whatever happens, the storm hasn't broken yet. But he knows providentially what will happen. But he just gives a simple word. Let us, all of us, pass over to where? To the other side. And all of us will arrive. We are all going to be kept safe. Because this is my word. Believe it. I have preached all day parables of growth, of growing, of the seed sown. Believe it. We shall arrive at the other side. The word of a God who cannot lie. And we must take that to heart. When you read your Bibles in your own homes, believe. This is God's word. The promise is yea and amen. It cannot fail. This captain is no ordinary captain. The first thing that's so wonderful about this captain is this captain controls the weather. He controls it. The wind is under his control, and the waves. You see, he holds the barometer. Whether it's high pressure or low pressure, he holds it. He knows the time of the storm. He knows the extent of the storm. He knows when it'll end. He controls the weather systems. Ephesians 1:11 says of God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Then another thing about this captain is this. This captain is always in the ship with his people. Always. He never leaves us. Joshua 1:5, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Don't doubt it. Whatever the enemy says, I am with you. Hebrews 1:13, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the Greek, apparently, there are five negatives. No, 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 never, 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 I will never leave you. It's the word of an unchanging, truthful God. John Owen, on his deathbed, the great Puritan, great scholar, do you know what he said? I am leaving the ship of the church in a storm, but while the great pilot is in it, the loss of a poor under rower, that's how he described, that's how humble he was. I'm just a poor under rower. He was dying. The loss of a poor under rower will be inconsiderable. And then he gives this advice, live. And he's talking to us this morning in Bethel. Gorsainan, live and pray and hope and wait patiently and do not despair. Don't break your heart. The promise stands invincible that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's the same God. Dark days still come over all of us, says hymn 670. Days of darkness still come over me. Sorrow's paths I often tread, but the Saviour still is with me. By his hand I'm safely led. And we prove this in the problems of life. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. You'll be kept. This is my word. The third thing about the captain is this. This captain always tries our faith. In every storm and winter's gale, whatever comes upon us, he will test our faith. If he has given us grace, that grace will be tested. because he wants us to bear more fruit, as the parables mentioned earlier in this chapter. He purgeth the branch, says the Lord in John, but his Father purging the vine to bring forth more fruit. That's what the Lord is doing here. These were young Christians, young believers. They were apostles. He had a lot to learn on a learning curve. Well, you all are, even now. I'm in a learning curve now. Job, the storms he had. And he says this, he knoweth the way that I take. He knows. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I am being purified in the furnace. And these were severely tried, weren't they? It's a great storm. This was a great storm. Now remember, these were seasoned, hardened, professional fishermen, many of them, four of them at least. They had faced storms before. They knew with the suddenness of storms on the Galilean Sea. This storm breaks. The captain is asleep. And a battle is raging in their hearts. Faith versus fear. That's the battle. In all storms and trials of life we have, those two things will be fighting against one another. Our precious faith and the fear that the devil fans. They are so panicky. They ask a question. Master, carest thou not that we perish? My friends, Jesus Christ came from glory that they would never perish. But here in this storm, they think the end has come. They disbelieve the word. Let's go over to the other side. They're fearful. It's natural. We all know this feeling. But it's more than a question. It's an accusation. Think of accusing the Lord that he doesn't care. He came from glory because he cared. And in the light of that accusation, the graciousness of Jesus Christ. What would be the first thing that we would do in a storm? We would pray. He doesn't pray. Neither does he rebuke the 12 at first. He rebukes the wind. And he rebukes the sea. And then think of his graciousness when the danger is over for his disciples, when the fear has gone, he speaks to them. And he speaks to them concerning this great battle that's going on in their hearts between faith and fear. How gracious Jesus Christ is. When we succumb to needless fears, when we have such a God for us, who can be against us? And what can be against us? Alexander McLaren, Scottish divine, he makes a remark that is so lovely concerning the Lord sleeping in the boat. Christ sometimes delays his help that he may try our faith. Ever thought of that? Oh Lord, hurry up. Christ sometimes delays his help that he may try our faith. and quicken our prayers. The boat may be covered with waves, and he sleeps on. But he will wake up before it sinks. He always is there. He sleeps on, but he never oversleeps. And there are no too lates with him. It's a wonderful message on that word, and he sleepeth on a pillow. And yet the psalmist says, he sleepeth not, he slumbereth not. The storm, and the calm after the storm, to finish. A great storm is here, followed by a great calm. And now you would expect, wouldn't you? Jubilation, rejoicing, putting their arms around Jesus Christ, embracing him. Oh, this is wonderful, Lord. We're safe. Not at all. You don't find that reaction at all. The great calm is followed by a greater fear. This is not the fear in the storm, the fear of drowning. It isn't that. This is how the word puts it. And they feared exceedingly. They feared more now than they did in the storm. But it was a different fear. The sea is calm as a lake. There is no wind. All danger is past. What's this fear? This is the fear of the person who has saved them. That's what it is. They have a glimpse. What manner of man is this? They're beginning to learn what the majesty, the almightiness, the graciousness, the wonder of Jesus Christ. They are mortals here in the face of the Holy One. Remember Isaiah? In chapter 6 of his prophecy, when King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord uplifted. Holy, holy, holy. And he felt his dirt. That's what they're feeling. This man and their sin. Remember Peter later on the same sea, when he can't catch even a small fish, and the Lord aids him, and there's a marvelous haul of fish. What does Peter say? Does he rejoice? No. Depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. That's what's happening here. They're beginning to see the greatness. What manner of man is this? What category can you put Jesus Christ in? But he is unique. He's unique. They're afraid of him. Friends, we're living in Wales that have no fear of God anymore. They don't fear anymore to break his Sabbath day. They've ignored him. No fear of God in the land. No fear. But the remarkable thing is this, that this fearful God, this holy God, sent his Son into this world to a cross called Calvary because of our sin. As our brother told these young little girls here this morning, he who we couldn't stand in his presence, but he sent his Son to die for us. And that's why we can be saved. And he took my sin and my sorrow
And the storm he faced on Calvary was the storm of the wrath of God upon my sin. And he took it himself. He bore my sin and my sorrow, and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. For me. For us. I close. There are lessons to learn in every storm we have. We can learn to read our own hearts in the storms of life. What faith, what the depth of my faith. We can learn to read our own hearts. We can also learn how limited our resources are in storms. But all our resources are found in Jesus Christ. We learn the importance of caring for our solar panels, reading, meditating, pondering, chewing the cud of the Word. Above all, we can learn the greatness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. They did pass over. He came to the land of the Gadarenes, and there was another problem facing Jesus Christ, and he knew that. And they landed. The next chapter begins, and they came over unto the other side. The word was fulfilled, and they had learned a hard lesson. And the graciousness of Jesus Christ was so wonderful. May God bless his word to us this morning. For Jesus' sake, amen.